Well, I'm afraid, Debbie, you did it to me this morning. You took me way, and I mean way back, to when I was a young boy, and several faith formation moments came to mind. The first was those Bible books, except the one I had was that thick, and Mom would gather us kids, my brother and my sister, around, and each evening she'd read a little bit of that story to us. And then we'd pick it up during the day and kind of leave through, because I'm a picture-oriented person, and I love to look at the pictures, and I wondered what it would like to be the children being welcomed by Jesus. Or what would it be like to be a disciple walking along with Jesus? And then there was this gruesome picture of Jesus on the cross, and I wondered why in the world would good people do bad things to a good person? That was one memory. Then I remembered another experience that's kind of humorous, but it was a faith formation moment. What my brother couldn't think of, I could. And Sunday school was no different. And we had a teacher who didn't know how to work with children, really. I mean, she didn't have children. She loved us dearly. But there was a special corner in that Sunday school classroom, and I still remember the Sunday I was invited to intentionally form my faith by standing in that corner and staring at that wall, embarrassed that all my friends were looking at me, wondering why I did or said, and I have no idea what I did or said, to put me in that corner. Number three. There's four. Number three is that I had the great and wonderful privilege, I don't know that Mom always felt this way, but I had the great and wonderful privilege to have my grandparents and my great aunt live next door to us. And I remember the moments of our talking about faith, but what I remember most is how the three of them lived their faith. And I wanted to be around them. I wanted to feel life as they experienced it. Now, the homemade cookies and the homemade cakes and the homemade pies and the homemade bonut. Do you know what a bonut is? It is the most wonderful food item I've ever encountered. Fridays, bonuts would appear in Grandpa and Grandma's house, with draped in this wonderful frosting. And by the time we got home, we didn't need to confess. Mom could see the frosting rolling down our cheeks because we were favored with a bonut. But that was a faith formation moment for me. Now, Sunday school was something that we didn't go to if we wanted to. It wasn't an option if we had time for it. Sunday school was a place where we went because it was a good place to form our faith. Now, I didn't know that was going on at that time, but I do remember getting excited to get up and go to Sunday school. I remember we sang songs that today would feel archaic, but they were the songs we had, and they shaped and formed our faith. Now, this is a little gross, but it does tell you something about me. When Bible school came around, our most favorite faith formation time, I got so excited, I'd have to go to the bathroom and throw up before I went. Now, that's being pretty excited. I guess that says I was a religious geek. I don't know what it says other than I was blessed in my journey of development, even up to the moment I stand here with you as you influence me, and maybe something that I chatter about from this pulpit or share with you in personal conversation is a faith formative moment to you. Now let's get out of the personal stuff, and I want to you join me in thinking about the question, what did our two scriptures have in common today? Paul was writing to established Christians. This was probably his masterpiece, Romans. Some people don't like it because it's a little bit confusing to them, but when you understand what it's about, it really does open one to new faith and new understanding. The first part is about Jesus. Who is Jesus? What is Jesus about? What difference does that make? And there's where the 12th verse comes in. That's a transition text, 12:1-2. And there it talks about the fact that we are ethically bound by submitting ourselves by the mercies of God so that we can have a transformed mind to discover the good and the perfect will of God. The second scripture, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now, what these two scriptures have in common is community. Faith formation at its best happens right here among ourselves. It happens when we're in small groups having conversation. It happens when we have guests who's coming for supper gatherings. Faith formation with us as a group can be very intentional, like Sunday morning. It can be very unintentional when we're talking on the phone and something's stirring in our soul and we begin sharing our own faith and our own ideas with one another. Brian McLaren, in a book entitled We Make the Road by Walking, refers to discipleship making as spiritual formation, reorientation, and activation. Now, I must confess to you, the reorientation has taken on new meaning in my being here in the last year, a little bit, sneaking over the border of being a year, and listening and talking and praying with and worshiping with this body of believers. I've become more alive and more interested in God's work among us. Our core values has awakened in me a sensitivity that behind all of who we are, there's something pushing us forward, something driving us into a bigger life than just me, little old Randy Yoder. Faith formation is intentional within Scripture and always is happening in the context of what the community has offered and prepared oneself for, even though there are individual settings for it. We must keep in mind as we read the Bible, it's a story of communal life. Community is extremely important. We must remember here, as we're moving forward, as we're anticipating a new pastor is being called to this place, that it is a communal life that we're all about. It's communal prayer. Why do you think people bring the prayers here? It's the power of the community that lifts it up. It's the intentional faith commitment that we bring, hoping that our prayers will be answered. Robert Snace, in the book that accompanies the devotional booklet, and sometime I hope some of you pick it up and read it. It's filled with lots of information. Now, he's a Methodist, and we're not going to hold that against him. I happen to believe Methodists are pretty good people, really. But he says all of his stories come out of Methodist stories. Well, what do you expect? I'm going to tell stories out of Church of Brethren life, right? Powerful stories, powerful offering. But this is one thing he offers. We mature in Christ, and as we mature, God cultivates the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22, 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Excuse me. How many of us here get all that right? What's the matter with us? That's why we come here, folks. We come here because we're constantly being nurtured by the Spirit of a living God as we meet with one another, as we talk with one another, as we pray together for each other and for opening ourselves to the good and the perfect will of God. It happens as we listen, as we discover together. The table talks we're having downstairs are not just an exercise of happy conversation, although I hope we do have happy conversations. It is a process of beginning to think our way into the core values, to see how they inform us. And I have to apologize, but pollen's in the air, folks. But it's during these talks that we further discover some things about our life together. It's an intentional faith formation experience. When I was a district executive, and I was that for 20 years, and I found that to be a good journey in the life of the church, but about the 15th year, we ran out of what to do next. Now, one of my weaknesses is I'm a good ID person. I'm pretty decent at implementing, but better at ideas. But the well was starting to run dry. And so the board and I started a conversation around an offering that McCormick Seminary was providing for a doctor ministry program for an intentional faith formation, life experience, educational formation opportunity. So we set out on the journey. What was attractive to me about this journey, I could not do it by myself. It was important that a faith formation, life formation group be provided in the district. So for five years, we worked intentionally together on listening to what was being discovered out of the learning. Now, I don't know where my degree is. Barry, I'm honest about that. Degrees are important to me, but they're not something I have to live out of. But what I learned in that period of time, because I was with a formation group in the district, was incredible. We listened like we'd never listened before. We brought insights and understandings into our gathered life formation to ask questions. Oh, one of the things that Nadim Men helped me do is realize there's so many questions one can ask. And then you narrow it down to what is the most important question to give consideration to this particular time. If I don't take anything away from that into my grave, it is that. Questions are important. They're valuable. They're invaluable listening tools. And many times in our conflict, that's the greatest opportunity of all to ask questions we've never thought of asking before. The opportunity led to new discoveries, led to new excitement and energy, led to the deepening of my and those who were with me in faith, and it led to the eventual redesigning of a district office to become a center for congregational ministry. Still is. We then kept learning by evaluating, by trying to determine what went well, what didn't go so well, what was God asking us to pay attention. That was another gift out of this training time, was what does God want us to pay attention to? I don't know if you noticed that I asked that question from time to time here. That grows out of that learning experience. Well, let's go back to the scripture in Acts. What was at the center of a group of emerging Christians whose vibrant life witnessed to something that others wanted to be a part of? It was a commitment not to stop with the baptism. Baptism isn't the finished product of our life in Christ. It's the outward expression of this inward stirring that commits us to an intentional life of formation as we move forward. Snaes refers to it this way: to be a part of the followers of Christ in such a way that God's Spirit can shape our thoughts, our attitudes, values, and behaviors. So how does that happen here? It happens here with a well-planned and led children's church that is better than most Sunday school programs I know of in the Church of the Brethren. It is realized when we send our youth to NYC and invite them to come back and help us understand what they learned and what they experienced. It emerges through a new faith formation group that allows further conversation during a sermon talkback. This has been one of the most exciting pieces of my learning here. You all teach me about things I couldn't see in the scripture. The thing I wish we'd do is have the Bible study first, and then the sermon, and then talk about what we learned and discovered. But we didn't get there for that. But I did that one time in a congregation, and it was really powerful. It is happening here through Opal. Opal is one of our newest efforts to reach out into this community. As we plan, it takes our faith. As we think about what is all involved, it takes more than just one. It takes a village of this congregation and beyond. It's a partnership. We remind ourselves that it is our faith that leads us to want to do this tutoring because there are underprivileged people in this community that can't get into college because they haven't been tutored well, or their students can't afford tutoring while other family members' students can. This is an exciting opportunity to share our faith, an opportunity that is just as important for our intentional faith formation as it is in what we share with others. In our devotional booklet that Shirley referred to, thank you, Shirley, appreciate that, there is a quote from an author by the name of Craig Dykstra. He says, "Christian practices are not activities we do to make something spiritual happen in our lives, nor are they duties we undertake to be obedient to God. Rather, they are the patterns of communal actions that create openings in our lives where the grace, mercy, and presence of God may be known to us." And I'd go on to add, be known to others as well. It all began for me as a boy growing up with wonderful Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, who taught me to love God, treat my fellow youth friends well, pray without ceasing, and service for others. Faith for Cremation has continued as I have joined others in various kinds of groups to learn, to share fellowship, and to serve for the common good. And this continues here to this very moment as we learn together how to follow Jesus simply, peacefully, together.